You look just like I did at your age.
Please don't say that, Dad.
I'm 16 years old. I'm not a child.
Don't you take that tone of voice with me, young lady.
Love you, Dad.
I love you too, son.
You're listening to Honey, We Made a Disney Podcast. Two friends since the pain of listening to dial tones with bated breath. Now dads reliving the Disney movies we grew up on with our own kids. I'm JB Wagner.
And I'm Eddie Ferguson. And on today's episode, we might be chubby, but we're quick. Quick to review The Country Bears. But before that, JB, how are you and the family doing?
Eddie, we've decided that we need to get my daughter into something, some extracurricular something. I don't even know what the what we're looking for is.
And she's it's called toddler exorcism.
Toddler exorcism is a great way to put it. We need for her to be involved in some sort of sport or activity, something, because she is climbing over everything right now. And we don't have a play gym or whatever in our backyard because those are $1,000 a pop, unless you want to go reclaim them from someone's home. But even then, they still want to charge you 80%, and then you have to get it out of there.
Haul it.
It's ridiculous. We're thinking about doing something for Christmas. We're like, this is literally too much money. Anyways. Yeah.
Okay. So, I've got the solution.
Okay.
Mini little people, little tykes trampoline. Like they're just big enough for her to jump.
We've owned one of those before.
Oh, it didn't work.
It was fine. It was okay. It definitely helped during the winter months for sure. Mm-hmm. That was definitely better. But it kind of wore out. The other problem was we bought the version that didn't have it wasn't fold up, fold down. It the stand where you kind of hold on to it was up all the time. And I can't remember. I think we got rid of it. We might have given it away or sold it or something. So we don't own that one anymore. And the other problem we've been having is all the places around us want to treat anything that's like gymnastics or dance, especially, as like a competitive 3-year-old. This is your future in life. And
you're in the South.
It's bad. Yep.
Yeah. You're grooming the next Miss Tennessee.
That's a great way to put it. You hit the nail on the head. It is. And everybody knows it sucks, but they all still go for it. And so we've been trying to find, okay, I just want to have fun and have a place for my daughter to get out all of her energy. So we think we might have found it with gymnastics. We gave up on dance because that all of it's competitive. So we might have figured it out. We're going to try it this week, maybe over the next couple of weeks to see what works best. But we're at that point. She's climbing on everything. She just needs more opportunities to just get around and jump and run into things. So
let us know what solution you arrive at, because I think we're, a year behind you in this. Our neighborhood did this kind of trick-or-treating thing. I need to send you videos of it because it was like Costa Rican style trick-or-treating. It was great. But she had eaten so much candy. She came home. She's running around the house in nothing but a diaper. And she puts her purse over her head. And she found a stick. And she's running around, like, hitting things, singing, "Let It Go, Let It." And it was just, like, complete chaos, a cacophony of sugar. That I'm like, oh, this is only going to get worse.
I think our daughters have the same energy. Just like you said, yeah, a year behind. I'm interested to see how they do together now that they're a little bit older, to see do they feed off of each other, or do they then become mortal enemies? Like, there's so many ways this could go about. So intrigued by it.
Let's send them off to summer camp together and see what comes.
See if they secretly become best friends and realize they're sisters. But anyways, but enough about me. Eddie, you had a great idea for today, because we missed last week. It was very unfortunate. I'm sorry to all of you listeners, but there's been a lot of a flood of random Disney news. And we realized that we were both just texting each other constantly, but not even everything that we were finding. Just we were trying to be sensitive to each other's other schedules and just texting. So you had a great idea for today's Disney news section before we get into the masterpiece of Country Bears.
Yeah, let's just go through our text thread from the last episode till now and just review all of the different things that we shared with each other, and then also sprinkle in a few things that we almost shared with each other, but then realized we have full-time jobs and we can't share everything with each other, full-time jobs and family. So the first one you sent me, which I love this. This is like, will this ever die? Is, oh, Rian Johnson has to continue to tease that there may or may not be possibly, yes, be another Star Wars movie from him coming out.
Not any trilogy. The Rian Johnson trilogy.
Oh, that's true.
He's been promised a trilogy, not just this, the one middle film that he did.
So the quote is, I have talked to Kathleen Kennedy about it, and we're still talking about it. It's entirely a matter of scheduling. I have talked and we are talking. What does that even mean?
It's entirely a matter of scheduling, Eddie. Who knows where the story is? Who knows any of that? That's not driving
it.
It's just
about.
I got some other commitments going on. He's got another franchise that he's carrying, Eddie, with Knives Out universe that he's got to really dig down on that. He doesn't have time for Star Wars, but they're still talking about it.
And they're talking. They've talked and they are talking.
So enough talking about Rian Johnson talking. The second thing I sent you was, of course, most of you have probably already watched this last week when we didn't put this out there, but Ant-Man, Quantumania, we got the first real trailer for this thing. And I believed a version of it played at the Disney D23
XO, but they didn't release it to the public. They just showed it like at the hall or whatever. There wasn't one that the public could see.
So this is first time public being able to see it, unless you saw one of the bootlegged versions of it, which I've been told there is some slight changes that they made between that version and this version. There's a quote it might have changed, but Eddie, the name should have given it, but this just threw us right back into the deep end of all
Quantumania.
All of the universes, all of the separate timelines and multiple timelines. And
this is what I'm confused. Is the quantum realm a parallel universe, like in the multiverse, or is the quantum realm like a realm within our world, within our universe? Because I always thought of it like Asgard is another realm, but it's within our universe. So I always thought of the quantum realm like that, but now it's like, no, we're dealing with, I get so confused with these things.
Well, for one.
And I'm young. I should be able to follow this.
It seems almost like it's a deeper realm that's outside of, I honestly don't know how to describe it, because even in the trailer itself, it kind of talks about.
So you've gone so deep. You've gone so deep. You've now passed to another universe.
That's what it sounds like. Like anybody who was in the quantum realm while the snap happened was not affected by it. They weren't affected by the snap. Ergo, when he's in the quantum realm right at the end of Ant-Man and the Wasp,
He didn't get affected by it.
It seems like it's that, but it is there where we then get to finally meet Kang the Conqueror, who we got hints of in the end of Loki. The series, Eddie, it's just right back into the deepest. It seems like from the trailer and everything, it seems like the deepest of the deep end of this multi-universe, multi-timeline, all of the things that kind of drive me insane. It did not make me excited.
We're going to be in this for a while.
I know.
The whole multiverse stuff.
It was Whiplash, though. It was Whiplash being thrown back into it.
I would agree with you. I did not leave this excited to go see it. The only moment that I got kind of excited, I was like, ooh, Bill Murray's in this.
Oh, yeah. We get Bill Murray.
you know, that was about it. I the also
Wasp
have
got
to
a new haircut. Excited about that?
Yes, she did. You know, it's a bad trailer when all that we're like, ooh, she got
the
she
first
got a new
couple
haircut.
Minutes, the first when he gets when he says Spider-Man, that's been a meme all over the place now.
Sure, that's funny. And I mean, come on, we all love Paul Rudd. I also have to say, I mean, this is your field. So the whole edit to a somewhat orchestrated version of a old pop song.
Yep. A Beatles song, right?
Well, no, this was Elton John, Elton Goodbye John. Yellow Same Brick thing. Road. Sure. isn't this getting old? Can we find something else? Can editors
love the remixes,
find
though? Just love the remixes. Just got to redo it. Reach,
but
reskin
it's in
it.
Everything. It's in everybody's doing it.
That's why change it if it's not broke?
The Enneagram 4 in me is like, be original. Do something different, authentic. Come on, let's be special, everybody.
Everybody be special. Why do we have,
everybody be special.
If everybody's special, Eddie, then nobody is special. We are all, if you're all snowflakes, nobody's a snowflake.
But yeah, what was so conflicting about it is I'm like, ooh, I like this version of Goodbye Yellow Brick Road. Oh, but why do we keep doing this? Why do we keep doing this? Anywho, you also sent out a very, very random thing that you knew that I would love. Continuing that Bono says you can blame him for the free iTunes album.
Let's give context. Back in 2014, when there was the next Apple event that came out, and everybody at one time got automatically downloaded the newest YouTube album. Everybody with an Apple account got it. And so many people got mad. I don't know if it's because it took up their space or they just hate YouTube or what. But YouTube had never at that point, they were like a really popular, like, and when you just talk about how many people hate U2, not that many. Like, they had a really low, like, hatred mode.
Everybody had at least one U2 song that they really liked. Mm-hmm. They're the only band to hit number one in four consecutive decades. Okay? That just gives you a taste of the overall popularity of U2. I'm a huge U2 fan, but objectively speaking, that's pretty big. Four consecutive decades, you have an album hit number one. You're pretty popular.
Up until 2014, when they did this stunt, and everybody was, a lot of people were immediately mad, and they had to actually make a special tool so that you could undo that and like take it off of your account. And we all wondered whose idea was this, and it was Bono the whole time. He came out and he says it was my idea, and it was crazy because he basically convinced Apple to buy it from him, buy the rights, and this led into a lot of other trends of like exclusive content to exclusive chains of audio delivery services, like we now see with Spotify exclusives, other things like that. That's where they kind of came from. But he was like, yeah, it was my idea the whole time. And I was just like, why now? Why 8 years later is he like, you know what? It's time that we set the record straight.
So I can tell you that. I actually know why.
Please tell me.
November 1st, he is releasing his memoir called Surrender. That looks fantastic. I can't wait to read this.
Have you pre-ordered it?
I have not. I'm just like, I keep dropping hints to Sarah. I'm like, hey,
Sarah, if you're listening,
if anybody is still trying to figure out what to get me for Christmas. that's the type of hints that I've been not so subtly dropping. So he's releasing his memoir and like going back and all these interviews and stuff are asking like key moments and everything. And I would tell you, you should they're doing these. I'll send you one of these. This was one of those things that I almost sent you in reply to this. But they're taking his drawings and animating them. So they're really very chicken scratch, rudimentary drawings. But putting it to his memoir, these prose that he's written about his different songs and stuff. And it's just really cool. I just really like this, what they're doing with these. It's just very unique. And it's a unique way to promote a new book or whatever. So yeah, that's why Bono is finally coming out and setting the record straight that all of you crazy people who would ever complain about getting a free album, let alone a free album from one of the greatest bands ever. This is why you can complain about something so wonderful and beautiful. And Songs of Innocence is a great album. I don't know why people didn't want to listen to it.
I didn't want to
listen to it. But that's neither here nor there.
Sorry. Speaking of popular items that what we've been delivered, we are now also one of the next things in our thread was Doctor Who. It is coming to Disney Plus. Eddie, have you ever gotten into Doctor Who at all?
Sarah's a Doctor Who fan. When we were dating, she was trying to get me interested. And I gotta say, it was one of those things where I was like, that's nice. Good for you. That's great. Can we watch Harry Potter?
Her other vehicle is a TARDIS.
Yeah. Well, and you see, like, people who are Doctor Who fans, they are Doctor Who fans. Like, you can't just be a casual Doctor Who fan. You know, you've really got to go all in. So I think we've got a few Doctor Who magnets up on the fridge that have survived the time. But
I have not gotten into it. It feels daunting. Like,
it does.
Like, I imagine it's the same way if someone were just now getting into Star Wars. Just the daunting nature of where do I even begin? Do I have to go all the way back?
Marvel,
that's might be even a better example of it. Yeah,
much content.
But that's awesome. They're bringing over new content. I think it's going to still be a play with the BBC. I think they're still going to be attached to it. It's not forever leaving the BBC. But now they've got another place to get it into our hearts and minds here.
I think this is a good example of Disney Plus is going to start working even harder at just beefing up their content and diversifying it. They want more content. Well, Bob Chapek was quoted this week. Gotta love these Bob Paycheck quotes that come out.
Do you just call him Bob Paycheck?
Yeah.
That's a good one. I hadn't heard that one yet. Chapstick.
Chapstick, Paycheck. They're a dime a dozen around the internet. Where he was saying when parents put their kids to bed, they're not watching animated movies. Animated movies are for kids only. And it sparked this huge thing where people are like, either he's right or no, animation is the bedrock of your business model. How dare you try and diss it? Da, 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 da. So no matter where you fall on that, I think this is an obvious tell of they want more diversified content for adults.
My team member, Eleni, she's come up on the show many times. She's the one that had the exact same take as you did on all of the D23 stuff about the parks. She texted me today a TikTok of him saying that very same thing. And she was like, this is disgraceful. he does not understand, doesn't get it.
And I was like, am I alone? And I was trying to like think through like, okay, yeah, I mean, we watch animated films a lot so do we ever just sit down and just the two of us? I'm like, yeah, it's called Ratatouille, it's called Coco, yeah, a few others.
Not right now for us very much, because there's a lot of great content out there. There's a lot of good stuff, including Andor. Oh, man, I can't wait for the season two. No, I can wait. I don't want it to end, but I'm saying it's going to be a great episode and we can really recap what happened on it. I can't wait. It's going to be awesome. So,
We were texting about other Disney stuff. That two things that I would say are just downright hilarious. First of all, Disney has advised Kathleen Kennedy to just stop announcing Star Wars projects.
I loved it. It was so perfect.
Just stop.
I don't even know where to begin. It's like, of all the people, if you said, hey, if someone said a major studio head was told to just stop announcing that there's going to be another film coming out because most likely it might not happen, I would have guessed it was Kathleen Kennedy. She's become a punching bag in the industry. And I mean, we're all kind of throwing our hands up in the air of like, what's going to happen next under her watch?
She has got to have something on somebody or talent that we all just, well, I mean, of course she's got talent. I mean, she's been an incredible producer up until this point, right? Like
up until this run,
up until she took over for Lucasfilms, arguably one of the greatest producers of all time. Like when you just look at all her the
Spielberg
credits.
Stuff.
Sure. I mean, yeah. All of the Star Wars stuff, it's like, man, she just can't figure this out. She doesn't know what she has. Another thing that I did not send to you was an interview with George Lucas, and somebody pretty much asked him, why'd you sell it? Why'd you sell Star Wars? And he was like, during the prequel, I realized I can't make the Star Wars movies I want to. Like, Star Wars is just too popular. It's too much of a commercial success that I can't make the movies I want to make because they'll bomb. And I am now responsible for 2,000 plus employees at Lucasfilm. I just can't do that.
Yeah.
So he said, I made so much money off of selling this to Disney that I can go and make the experimental fun films that I want to make and not have to worry if they're a commercial success or not.
And has he made those?
And so the interviewer goes, will we ever see those? And he said, oh, I've made them, but you won't ever see them.
What?
So George Lucas is still making films. Is still making movies. They're just locked in his mansion. And who knows if we will ever see them or not.
He has no incentive to do that.
He's made so much money.
Can you imagine having that much money to be like, I'm going to go make a film and not release it?
That's another level. Bankroll. I mean, he is financing those films all on his own. And I can guarantee you that's not Super 8 films in the backyard.
That might be his style.
Let me put it this way. I can guarantee you it is not Beowulf running around Caleb Bullock's backyard.
I may have been telling some people about that recently. And I was like, I would show you some of this. But one of our friends now is in the military.
Who can't be named because they might come after us.
And he said he would literally hunt us down if we ever put these online. This was right before YouTube. Another year and that thing would have been on YouTube, 100%.
Isn't that crazy? That was 1 year before the launch of YouTube.
Oh, man. That thing would have 100% have been on YouTube.
100%. We would have been that stupid. So the last thing I sent you was a YouTube short that you just watched.
I watched it right before we came on.
This is Mark Hamill explaining why the Luke Skywalker in the sequel trilogy, quote, he's not my Luke Skywalker.
I had heard him talk about it before, but him just saying it again just kind of like breaks my heart that he wasn't a central part of creating that storyline. Like he voiced his concern, like this version of the character that I love and created or like embodied is not at all what you have put onto the paper for the latest trilogy that we did. And it speaks to a lot of people's sentiments that you and other people, and he even called it, I don't know who this person is. This could be Jake Skywalker for all I know. And I was like, that's perfect. Skywalker.
And that's what he said, is that he just names him Jake Skywalker, that this is not his Luke Skywalker.
That's how
he He's just playing a different character.
It was
and
his
in
coping.
His mind calls him Jake.
It was his coping mechanism to get through production was to call it, okay, I'm playing Jake Skywalker, the alternate universe, the alternate timeline of the real Luke Skywalker. Full circle here, Eddie.
That's what they need to do. Let's just Marvel this thing and let's just say, oh, that was an alternate universe. It didn't really take place.
Now let's get the real
trilogy. Now let's give you the real thing. And who's gonna produce and direct and write it? Dave Filoni and Jon Favreau. This is what we all want.
What we can only dream of. There was some.
Take my money now.
Mm-hmm. There was another thing that came out recently that I didn't text you. This was one of two things I didn't text you. That's the next piece of this. One of which is that apparently Damon Lindelof, your BFF from Lost.
BFF from Tomorrowland.
My BFF from Tomorrowland. He is heavily involved in the next series of Star Wars films that will take place right after the latest trilogy we got.
How do we know this? I thought Kathleen Kennedy is not allowed to announce anything anymore.
She didn't announce this. He announced. It sounded like he announced it. Variety.
So the writers can announce, just the president of the studio can't.
Yeah. Gotcha. So this is also connected with director Sharmeen Abdi-Chinoy. I probably butchered that horribly. But
please accept our apologies.
Yes. He is a part of this. He is from Ms. Marvel. He was the helmer of Ms. Marvel. So they are both now I will say this, Damon Lindelof did get critical acclaim for the Watchmen HBO series in 2019. So he has had at least some good things happen since then.
Since Lost.
Yes. He gets a lot of the brunt for Lost. Like he probably even more than, the other showrunner on Lost,
Carlton Cuse.
He kind of gets off kind of scot-free, but Damon Lindelof, because he was the more facing forward of the two, he's gotten most of the hatred. Most of the people who hated Lost come after him. So
unfounded hatred, I might add. I love that show.
But it sounds like Dave Filoni is going to be in the writer's room. They're building a giant writer's room, and apparently Dave Filoni might be a part of that. So
one could hope.
It sounds like this is going to be most likely the next of the Star Wars stuff happening. Well, I don't know.
It'll be interesting. I want to see where they continue to go with Andor. Andor is good. It's a slow burn, though. I mean, there's a little bit of me where I'm like, come on.
But it feels like every line matters. Like they're going to pay off this line in three episodes.
So many pieces. Yes. So that makes me excited for Skeleton Crew. I think that has a lot of potential.
But that's another series. This sounds like movies that he's going to be involved in.
But haven't we learned to not get excited about Star Wars movies anymore?
Lindelof will co-write the new movie. This is it. They might rescind it.
He did
in
great.
6 months.
He was on the writing team for the first two new Star Trek movies.
Yeah.
He was in on all that. He was also a producer. I think we just need to just don't bring JJ back. Like, please, JJ, stop. Stop. Like we used to really, really love you.
That was very, very, and then you very, had very the, much true.
And then you put the Calvary charge in space and we're all done. Just
the Calvary charge on the, you know, it'd be great.
You know, it'd be cool, dude.
Calvary charge on the wing of the spaceship. Eddie, was there anything you didn't text me or you kept from me?
I didn't send anything to you about the Guardians of the Galaxy Christmas special.
Did you know this was coming? I think I had heard winks about it a long time ago, like on all their 30 things they were releasing, but I was not ready for this. I was not ready for this at all.
I knew it was coming because I was also tracking, you know, they just opened a new Guardians ride at Disney World at Epcot. And so I had heard through all of that that they like filmed the stuff for the ride and for this Christmas special, like all together kind of around the same time. And the stuff for where they show up briefly in Thor, Love and Thunder. So it was kind of like, oh, wow. It was, they did a lot, right? They were in Thor, Love and Thunder. They did a ride. They did this Christmas special and they've got another movie coming out. But this trailer dropped for me out of nowhere and is so random that I don't even really know what I think of this yet.
It's random and it's also so perfect for them that the plot is them going to bring Kevin Bacon back to Star-Lord for his birthday.
So that they can like, yeah, or he's lonely or sad because Gamora. And so they're going to cheer him up with a Earth Christmas through Kevin Bacon.
It's so unnecessary and awesome at the same time. November 25th is when it comes out, right as we're kicking off the holiday season. Is this actually on Thanksgiving or is this seems like it might be like the day before Thanksgiving?
Day before, day after. I know last year they dropped a whole bunch right before Thanksgiving's the 24th, so it's the day after.
To Black Friday. This is what they're trying to get us to do.
I'll be unable to watch this because that is the day that the U.S. plays England in the group stage of the World Cup.
And you're spending all day watching this?
Well, I mean, it's group stage of the World Cup.
It sounded like you were going to spend all day watching just the U.S. men's national team.
No, because, I mean, that's just a 90-minute match. But as Sarah learned 4 years ago, I am not a big sports fan, right? I am not constantly watching something or tracking or keeping tabs on things. But it's like all of that pent up energy
for four years
gets poured into the World Cup where it's, she didn't know who, she's like, I didn't know I had married this person. I'm kind of glad I didn't know about this until a few years in. But yes,
very few people get to see that, Eddie, because you're such a big sports ball fan.
Such a big sports ball fan. I mean, the touchdowns and the baskets and the home runs. Like
you say, you don't use any of that energy for three years and 9 months, and then it all comes out.
Well, and it's been a little bit longer this time around because usually the World Cup's in the summer and now they've pushed it here all the way until November. But this is not a sports podcast.
No, it is not.
So I won't go on too long.
So that's it. That is all of the text thread Disney news that we sent each other or didn't send each other. That Eddie was like, no, we need to do all of this. Let's not wait and save any of this for a future podcast because there may be other things happen in between. So that is why we have covered all of it for you right now. Cause you know what? You deserve it. You deserve it. We all deserve it. But Eddie, that's not why we're here today. None of that is the reason, even though we've spent 35 minutes talking about it. What we're really here for is to continue going back through all of the major Disney movies from 1988 to 2005. And we're getting really close to the end of this thing, because we are in the middle of 2002, maybe even kind of near the end of 2002, getting here pretty close here. And today's movie that we are talking about is the grand movie that I didn't know existed till a week ago, and that is Country Bears.
Cue the Disney sound effect.
Okay. IMDb description it's The Country Bears. For The Country Bears. This is, I want to make sure I don't.
You
don't
forgot the definite article. Yeah.
I forgot what a definite article even is. But anyways, the IMDb description for Country Bears is this. Barry Barrington goes on an adventure to save Country Bear Hall by getting the Country Bears back together for a reunion concert.
This is one of the best, most concise, accurate descriptions of any movie.
Is the IMDb description of this better than the movie is?
That's very possible. That's very, 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 very possible.
First, let's just start off. Eddie, have you actually gone to the Country Bears show in Orlando, Magic Kingdom, or wherever it's at? Give us a description for those of us who have never been to it. What would we be expecting if we showed up? Is it this? Is it this movie a good adaptation of what you would expect to experience?
No. And that's probably my first complaint against this movie, is it doesn't feel like the actual attraction. And they don't even do the songs that are done in the attraction.
Do they even use the same bears? Or do they create new bears for this?
Yeah, they use some of them, not all of them. Like, Liver Lips doesn't show up in the movie, and he's one of the more popular ones from the attraction that is even a walk-around character in Frontierland in Magic Kingdom. So, yeah, there's some, but not all. Like, they came up with a lot of new ones, which is what's very odd to me. And that's interesting to hear me say that when we're talking about a movie of giant talking bears. That's what was odd. But we love this attraction at Disney World. We go pretty much every single time. It's my dad's favorite. So the grandkids all sit with dad and sing along to the songs. And it's a lot of kind of corny jokes. Old kind of hillbilly country and all these different, and it's an animatronic show, very similar to the Enchanted Tiki Room, but with bears and country music. And it's, as a show, it's a very entertaining, I don't know, 15-20 minutes. As a movie, they just did something totally different here. You know, they kind of went more for your rock and roll country, which is not what the attraction is.
At least it was a rap country.
Yeah, rap country is awful. Just let that sink in.
All country for me is awful, but I know how much you all that love country hate rap country. So I just figured I'd play to the
well, rap country, and then there's also like really big right now is bro country. Have you seen these or heard about, you know? You know what I'm talking about, though, like bro country, where it's like all of these just like country bros sing country songs, you know, and it's
just like that.
I don't know. Yeah, it's just like, give me some, you know, George Strait, give me some Brooks and Dunn, give me some Judds, huge Judds fans, give me some Garth Brooks. Like, that's the country I grew up on in the 90s, but this stuff now. And that's what was so frustrating about this with Country Bears. It was like, come on. And you see that, right? And throughout this, I think this was one of the things that surprised me so much about this movie is the cameos, the people that they convinced, not just cameos, but to be in this movie.
Everybody from Willie Nelson to Queen Latifah. There's a lot of people like Exhibit and other people that are in like the documentary stuff happening in the credits. I don't know if you just immediately turned it off or not, but the big one for sure. I mean, come on. Elton John as the gardener for one scene. What are we doing here? And how much money did they pay?
And he sings a song. He sings a song.
Which song?
The Friends song while they're like just about to get back together. He's singing that.
How did that even
Friends happen? Is the name of the song. I have no idea. But I mean, they also get like Bonnie Raitt and Brian Setzer. They're the ones kind of sitting there at the bar. Exhibit is in it. Do you remember Crystal? I had totally forgotten about Crystal from the early 2000s until I saw this. This was just crazy, all of the different people that they got to be in this.
And the main bad guy,
Christopher Walken.
He was the perfect bad guy for this because he just like played straight into it. And then Benny Boggswoggle the armpit farter. He played that part. He opened up his shirt and you're like, what is he going to do? And
what then he starts going on?
Farting with his arm and you're just like, this is the most Christopher Walken thing that could have possibly happened.
And only Christopher Walken does that sequence with such conviction that it's like, is he trying to win an Oscar with this right now? Is he trying to with armpit farting?
What? Same energy as anything else he has done in his career. Oh goodness, Eddie. Like this, I was floored at how many big name people cameos were in this film. Like for what this movie was, I don't know what they were sold that it was going to be, but I was amazed. There were how did they get all these people? We need a documentary about just the famous people that are in this film.
So, just to the Wikipedia article here, it states that this is Disney's second theatrical film based on an attraction at one of its theme parks. The third overall, the first being the 1997 television film Tower of Terror, which you, if you haven't had a chance to watch, you should, because it's better than the Country Bears. The first being... I didn't even know. Somehow we missed this. I didn't know that this was based off, this was Disney or even based off of a Disney attraction. But they're saying 2000's Mission to Mars was based off an attraction. I'm assuming they're talking about Mission Space at Epcot. That's the only thing I could think of there. But I think of this really as the first Disney movie based off of a theme park attraction. And I think they thought this was going to be big. Like, we've got a built-in audience. Country Bears is kind of a very strong, nostalgic attraction. I mean, there was huge uproar when they got rid of it out at Disneyland. That's part of the reason why they've kept it at Walt Disney World for so long. I think they just thought this was going to be an instant success. And it was a critical and commercial flop. The numbers they give here was... on a $35 million budget, they grossed 18.
Two things are happening in my head right now. One, I am not surprised at all that it only made 18. $35 million, they must have spent all of that on those cameos, right? All of that on the cameos. Because what else would they have spent the money on other than remodeling Chuck E. Cheese animatronics as their main characters for this film?
So it was Jim Henson Workshop who did the puppetry, because I was like, who's behind this? Because the mouth movements in this, they're not even just unrealistic. They're creepy. There's moments where I'm like, this is freaking me out, dude. I can't look at this bear in the face. That being said, there is a goofiness and just insanity to it all that kind of made it like comically fun, like ironically entertaining. Does that make sense?
Sure.
Like
I kind of get what you're saying.
Like it's part of the reason why we sit down and watch the show at Disney World is not because like this is groundbreaking theme park entertainment here. There's a certain irony and nostalgia to it all where it's like, okay, this is goofy. Like, we all go in, we know the songs, we sing along, and it's just kind of fun. Well, like, kids sat down and watched this with us, and they had fun. Like, we danced around to some of the music, and it was just kind of a fun little family time.
Eddie, I had this on my second screen while I was trying to do, like, basic work at work. Just doing like spreadsheets and stuff like that. And I was just like, let me just have this on the side corner. And I had a team member stop me and say, what do you have on your screen right now? Why do you have this on your screen? I'm like, you just don't have random Country Bears. Like, he's like, no, please tell me that this, like, why you are doing this. Cause this is, and he was just flabbergasted. Like, why would you even turn this thing on to be like, there's like that level of like what you're watching at work. Like you, it's like a choice that you make to want to watch something just to pass the time. And it's like, I don't understand. I don't understand why you app that's on your screen right now.
I, when appropriate, you know, I like reading some of the critics' responses to these types of films.
Tell me. I'm ready.
And this is a really, well, first of all, let's begin with Empire Magazine. Gave the film 2 out of 5 stars. Yeah, 2 out of 5 stars.
Shocked.
But said, too American, too country, too much like a slick band extension cash in. Country Bears hovers between cult video hit and utter rubbish, never being completely either.
How could it give it 2? That's what
I don't know.
That's more confounding.
But I thought you would enjoy the Too American.
Too American.
I don't even know what this means. Roger Ebert, we always love when Roger Ebert pipes in. He gives it 2 out of 4 stars. Still higher than I thought he would have. And he says, the formidable technical skills in the Country Bears must not be allowed to distract from the film's terminally inanity.
Seems like he liked the animatronics more than you did and more than I did.
But I don't know when else I have heard the word inanity, meaning the absurd, used in a film review, but it works wonderfully here.
Some of the things you were talking about with the goofiness of this, we got to talk about the parents' insistence on not calling Barry a bear, like did not want to acknowledge that whatsoever, while their son is like, why don't anybody admit to what is happening here? And none of the adults in the situation want to actually call it. That's some of them leaning heavy into the shtick of the whole thing. At times it was funny. At times I was like, oh goodness, please just stop. I don't need any more of this.
Well, and then you have the two police officers that give some of the worst slapstick comedy ever.
You weren't all in on the car chase in the car wash. You weren't all about that.
The only time that I got a little bit of a chuckle was them being like sucked out the window by the car wash. That was chuckle worthy. But then forward, it was like, nope, this is just too much. But in the end, they saved Country Bear Hall. That was, you know, the most important thing.
We were worried there for a second that they weren't going to.
We were.
I did love the name of the road trip or the tour that they are on.
The
Hibernation Tour. Stuff like that, man. You just can't.
I felt like they needed to dial that stuff up a little bit. Like, dial that up a little bit. Like, just own it. Own that you are a movie in bear suits, okay? Just own it. And then give us a little more nostalgia of the ride, right?
Did they give you any?
I think that...
Was there any callbacks other than some of the names?
No. And I think this is what this and... I mean, I'm stealing from the future here a little bit, but even like the Haunted Mansion movie, you're not giving me the nostalgia of going on the ride. If you're going to make a movie based off the ride... Base it off the ride. Give me some of that nostalgia. And I think that's what they finally learned when they get to Pirates of the Caribbean is you got to give them the nostalgia. You got to plant these little things here and there. And that's when in Pirates, you start really laying in the Easter eggs. But this, there's like nothing. It's like, come on.
It wasn't working for you to kick it into gear and hitting all the pots and pans the diner and stuff. That wasn't doing it for you.
You know, I love a good musical number. You know me, but no, it just didn't do it for me. It wasn't there.
So I can't remember any of the bears' names other than Barry Barrington. I can't remember any of them. The one bear that kind of wore me down and just I finally gave in was the bigger bear the chubby bear, the bigger bear that is worried about the grass, the one that's worried about the grass. I just called him Eeyore. And then they're
so
like,
so he's Big Al. He's Big Al. And he is one of the few bears that they actually bring in from the show, from the country bears in the theme park.
Okay. Well, Big Al.
To the best of my knowledge, Big Al and Trixie are the only two that I can remember. And
everybody else is different. Yeah. I did love when he was like, well, if we did the tour, we'd have to do this. He's like, we could do that. And he did another one. We could do that. You know what? He wore me down. He wore me down. He wasn't the worst thing to happen to this film. There's plenty of other things, but you know what? I was okay with him.
And he's the one who ends up saving the day in the end. Bear Hall is still standing, we can thank Big Al. And he delivers the best line of the movie.
He does.
I might be chubby, but I'm quick.
Okay, Eddie. Do you have any other final comments, or do we need to rate this thing?
Let's rate this thing. I am going to give it a 1.5.
What? I am shook. Why would you give it an extra half a point?
I give it an extra half a point because in the end, it was fun watching it together with my family. And we just embraced the ridiculousness of it. And it reminds me just enough of why we love the theme park attraction. Just enough. It barely squeaks out a 1.5. Barely, barely, barely.
It's going to be a 1 for me. I have zero desire. Never going to watch this again. You can't pay me to watch this. Actually, you could pay me to watch this. It's money's money. Come on. But yeah, yes. No, I'm never watching this again. No desire. Didn't care about it before I watched it. Definitely didn't care it after I actually got started. From the first frame, I was just out. And it was pretty bad opening animation of the logo. Anyways, you can do better. You can do better, Disney. But
on a lot of things, but there it is. I would say don't watch this, but instead go onto YouTube and find some 15-minute bootleg copy of the actual Country Bear Jamboree still running today in Walt Disney's Magic Kingdom.
I need to go do that because I've never done that.
There you go. And with that, your life has now forever been changed by another episode of Honey, We Made a Disney Podcast.
Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your other favorite podcasts. And while you're there, please leave us a 5-star review, or you know what? Even better, share it with your best friend.
You can also check us out at honeywemade.com. Yes, we have a website where you can see our full movie list as we continue to go through all the Disney movies from 1988 to 2005, better known as our childhood, including next week when we review Tuck Everlasting, JB's favorite movie of all time.
Maybe not next week. We might not be here next week, but we're actually giving you a little bit of a heads up. When you hear us next, it will be Tuck Everlasting, most likely, unless something else happened. But thank you for listening. And remember, my hero is really heroes, and my heroes are the country bears.